Well, good morning. It is great to see you here once again as we explore God and His purpose for our lives. So just like last week, we are talking about another topic that I think in Baptist churches doesn't really get that much airplay, and that's this idea of Pentecost. This year, on the 20th of May, if you were doing the church calendar, many Christians and churches around the world would have celebrated Pentecost Sunday. So, have you heard the term Pentecost before? Yes. Right. So, that's easy. Thanks for coming. Have a great week. No. Look, it may not surprise you, but the word Pentecost is actually a Greek word. It's a Greek word that means 50th. Yep. It's exciting, isn't it? Penty, yep. Penta, that's five, yeah, yep. So 50 days after Easter Sunday, the church usually spends some time celebrating the coming of the Spirit of God. But did you know that this is not the only Pentecost referred to in the Bible? Oh, yeah, everyone's like, whoa, wait a second. That's unusual. Actually, Pentecost is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23, and it's where God commands the Israelites to count seven full weeks of weeks, so 49 days, and that count starts on the second day of Passover. So Passover, one day, seven full weeks, 50th days. It's a Pentecost. And the Pentecost was just to mark a period of time. And then after those 50th days, they would bring an offering to the Lord. It's usually a grain offering. In Hebrew, this Pentecost is actually called Shavuot. In ancient Greek, it's still called Pentecost, but for the Israelites, it was Shavuot. And we today translate Shavuot as known as the Feast of Weeks or First Fruits. And in our Israelite communities, they still celebrate Shavuot. And it actually has now a dual celebration. It marks two important events for the people. It marks the harvest, which is, as one writer puts it, traditionally a joyous time of thanksgiving and presenting offerings of the new grain of the summer when the harvest is in Israel. But they also use this time to commemorate the anniversary of the day that God gave the Torah to the entire nation of Israel. That's the Ten Commandments given on Mount Sinai. I found it interesting, though. They use this Shavuot to celebrate the harvest and the giving of the Torah, but there's nowhere in the Bible that seems to suggest that the two of them should be together. But we're talking about the New Testament Pentecosts. And for the church, the Pentecost is a holy day where we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the early followers of Jesus. Before the events of Pentecost, a few weeks before Jesus' death and resurrection, the followers of Jesus were simply that, just followers. There was no significant movement that would be called the church. So one of the reasons why we need to remember Pentecost and we need to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit is, as one commentator puts it, because it is, from a historical point of view, the Pentecost is the day which the church was started. They also have this to say, from a spiritual perspective, since the Spirit brings the church into existence and enlivens it, Pentecost needs to be celebrated as the church's birthday. So, happy birthday, church, for the 20th of May. Sorry, it's a little bit belated. But what I found interesting was that both Shavuot and the New Testament version of Pentecost have this idea of God providing for his people. Be it in the physical form with food, the grains, or in the spiritual form in the Torah or the Spirit of God guiding his people. As I said earlier, I don't think this gets much airplay, the idea of Pentecost in Baptist churches. Do you all know why we sing like this when we sing in the morning? So you don't raise your hands. You know, Baptist churches have a tendency to shy away from this topic, and I was thinking about it this week, and I was wondering if it's because we don't want to be linked to this image of a more charismatic, or what's commonly known as a Pentecostal church movement. Okay, I'm going to take a brief side note here. Pentecostal church and Pentecost, well, they're basically just talking about the Holy Spirit. So when we start talking about Pentecost, we start talking about the Pentecostal church, I think we get a little bit worried, right? That, you know, we're all going to have to, I don't know, speak in tongues or, I don't know, if you watch Benny Hinn or something and, you know, fall over and start convulsing. But this is not what we're talking about really here. Because this is important, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, are two important ideas and topics, and ones that need our attention. So this morning, I want to give you reasons why we should celebrate and remember Pentecost. And the first starts with this. There was a guy called Francis Chang, and he wrote a book called The Forgotten God. This book talks about how the church doesn't really have a theology of the Holy Spirit. The first thing Pentecost is meant to remind us is that we need God and his Spirit. See, we as a church spend a lot of time talking about faith and about God or about Jesus, but we don't really get much or give much attention to the Holy Spirit. If we're feeling a little bit adventurous, we might throw the Holy Spirit's name in a prayer. But have you ever started your prayer with, "O Holy Spirit"? Francis talks about in his book that unfortunately, the church has admired the gift, but they've neglected to open it, to explore it. Maybe they haven't opened and explored what the Holy Spirit means because they don't understand what he is meant to do. Or maybe they don't want to understand. Maybe our fear, and I think it's a good fear to have, is that we put the emphasis on the wrong thing. That we might forsake what is important and what's vital and sort of gone down the crazy path. Can I say crazy path? I don't know. I can? You're with me? Okay. But whatever the case, Pentecost is worth celebrating. If for no other reason, it encourages us to celebrate the Holy Spirit. And if we're celebrating the Holy Spirit, if we're remembering its role in our lives, then we are no longer neglecting him or demoting him. I remember sitting in a theology class where we were talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about Trinity. And the professor put up this nice artwork, right? So at the top, it had the clouds and the big shining light. You know, it took up like, nearly two-thirds of the painting. And he's like, well, that there, that big, bright, shiny light, that's representing God. And a little bit lower, about a third, just a little bit less than a third, is then a picture of Jesus on the cross. So this bright, shiny picture of God above and then the Jesus down below. And then right at the bottom, probably about a 50-cent piece worth, is a painting of the dove, right? And that's the Holy Spirit. And the lecturer went to go on and say, so this is how a lot of Western churches think, you know. So God is like this, Jesus is like this, and the Holy Spirit is like this. And then he throwed up a picture of an Eastern church picture. And it was three guys. The three guys looked identical in their facial features. The only thing different was their robes were painted different colors. The lecturer went on to say, but this is how we should see it. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they're all one and the same. They're all equal. Each is vitally important to make up our Trinity. So we need to remember the Holy Spirit, because as we think about the Holy Spirit, as we're reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit, multiple commentators and writers just keep using this word when they're talking about the Holy Spirit, when they're describing Pentecost. It's all power. Can you imagine this group of huddled disciples? This group that a few weeks ago was hiding themselves in that upper room where they had this communion, where they would lock the door because they were worried that someone would break in and accuse them of something. And then they hear this gale force wind. And then there's this strange presence of a flame above their heads. Have you ever been caught in like one of those winds that like pushes you over? I ride a motorbike when I feel brave enough. And there's sometimes when you're riding along and a gust of breeze just hits you and you're trying to go on a straight line and you know what I mean, don't you, James? You start to slide a little bit and you're like, oh, I better straighten back up there. Or have you ever seen the devastation that a fire has, especially in our country, with a bushfire? These winds and this fire are meant to be pictures of the nature's power. So we start off with this gale of a wind, these flames of spirit, and we're meant to be reminded, oh, wait a second, that's about nature, that's about power. And as we've been saying, that this is the birth of what would become the church. This is an explosion of gospel witness. It catapulted these followers, these Jerusalem believers, to eventually becoming a force too large to ignore. But look what happens when the disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, look at what they do. Well, they go out and they start preaching, and their message carried power. The words that they spoke were all in different languages, but yet we're told that they were intelligible. And this is the Feast of Pentecost, so we know that, it's the Feast of Shavuot. This is why all the Jews are there, and there's thousands of pilgrims that had come to celebrate this festival. And suddenly they're hearing this miraculous message that had to do with God's mighty work. Again, it's a picture of power. Commentators will talk about how these people heard these messages in their own language and they were amazed. If you keep reading a little bit further in verse 12, it actually says some of them thought that these Christians were drunk. I don't know if I've ever been so drunk that I can perfectly speak another language. Has anyone experienced that? I've seen a few drunk people who you just can't make sense of, and it seems like they're speaking in a different language. But here we are, several dozen men and women proclaiming the truth among thousands of people, each one hearing it in their own language. And something powerful is at work, the Holy Spirit. Pentecost has happened, and 3,000 people were added to their number. Like that, a church is born, 3,000 people converted. Hopefully you've picked up that Brookside, us as a church, have a celebration coming up. We have a 50th anniversary. And part of celebrating our 50th anniversary is we're celebrating where we started. And that's why we need to remember Pentecost, because it is part of our story. It's about power, it's about beginning. But we need to also remember that Pentecost is a continuing of the invitation of God to be part of what theologians call the Missio Dei, the mission of God. Pentecost is about bringing us in and us fulfilling our purpose. Pentecost also points us to something. Pentecost points us to the Great Commission. As you read through the Gospels and into Acts, you see that Pentecost took place on the heels of Jesus' final command, go and make disciples of all nations. And as we mentioned last week, his ascension is this picture that happens like straight after he goes into heaven, that the establishment of the kingdom of God had happened. And then 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit comes. And the mission that Christ gave was empowering the disciples. So the Holy Spirit empowers the disciples to fulfill Christ's commands. The mission to make disciples of all nations and teach them things at any time is a tall order. It's only something that the Spirit of God could aid them in. And that's something we still hold to today. It is by the work of the Spirit of God in people which sees his mission fulfilled. It's God at work in people's lives. Now, don't mistake this. Our words and our actions point people to God. We encourage people to explore God, but it is God who does the work. God's Spirit who moves in people's lives. Yesterday, I was reminded of a friend I went to college with, and his coming to faith story. When I first met this guy, he used to be in the feeder team for the Waratahs, the Union. So he is built like a tank, literally a tank. You wouldn't want to like accidentally turn around and sprint because you would fall down if you ran into him. But this guy, he told us how he came to faith. See, what had happened, his wife had an experience with the Holy Spirit and she came to faith. So she started going to church every week. And my mate was quite insecure and he thought, oh no, actually church is a cover word for, you know, she was having an affair. And, you know, she kept talking about this guy. And what he did is he went, you know what, I'm going to go to this church and I'm going to, what's Tony Abbott's favorite saying, I'm going to shirt front the guy, you know. And he's a tank, yeah. And he goes up to the guy and he looks him square in the eye and says, are you sleeping with my missus? And suddenly, I don't know what happened. I don't know what words were said, but they have a conversation. And as the Holy Spirit works in my mate's life and sees that, hey, my wife has actually changed the way that she is relating to people. The Holy Spirit's at work. And then this guy just suddenly gets hit with it. He came there with vicious intent. The guy was the pastor of the church. And he experienced the Spirit of God. I've delivered some shocking messages in my time. It's true, you can feel that way. There are times when I thought there is no way that God could take that and use it. But the Spirit of God has been at work in people's lives. I had one conversation with someone once and they said, you know when you talked about this? And I thought, oh, that was like my worst one. Why would you bring that up? God spoke to me, challenged me. Our words and our action point to the reality of God, but it's the Spirit of God who moves in people. See, we need to celebrate Pentecost because we can't help but realize the magnificent responsibility we have been given in the Great Commission, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. So as we've been saying, part of the ascension, part of Pentecost, is an invitation to go on the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And hopefully as you read through the beginning of Acts, you see that Acts opens with a flurry. The Holy Spirit arrives. And as Acts unfolds, we see that the world gets turned upside down by the church. But if you really read Acts closely, you will see that it is the Holy Spirit's work in people's life. He virtually appears on every page of that book. I was saying to Barbie this morning that Acts, we call Acts the Acts of the Apostles. We should probably more appropriately call it Acts of the Holy Spirit. See, Luke chronicles the labors and the works of the likes of Peter, Paul, and others. People who experience imprisonment, beating, being stoned, shipwrecks, danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from their own people, danger from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and in hardship, and through many sleepless nights. They go through hunger and thirst. They often go without food. They're in cold environments and exposed to the elements. And yet they talk about having great joy. It's the Spirit of God who gave them comfort. It was the Spirit of God who let them continue when most people probably would have given up. As one writer put it, this should be a tremendous encouragement to us. See, we too, if we're on the Missio Dei, if we're on the mission of God, then we too work for the proclamation of the gospel. We share it in our churches, hopefully in our workplaces, in our home, and as we share the gospels and have gospel conversation, as we live out our faith, where do we get our strength from? Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit. I think we need to constantly come back to this idea of Pentecost. We need to remember what it means, because it's a wonderful opportunity to look afresh, to be reminded that our God, Holy Spirit, gives us encouragement. Even if we feel that we have done poorly. So the Spirit gives us encouragement. The Spirit's about power. The Spirit's about continuing on the Missio Dei. But I also think the idea of ascension and the idea of Pentecost is that it gives us hope. See, as the disciples were waiting in the upper room, some commentators suggest that the disciples might have been starting to feel a little bit discouraged. For me, I don't think that the disciples are discouraged, but rather unsure of what the future holds. Let me try and illustrate that for you. when Steve Jobs, CEO of Apple, died, the world started to ask a question. Who can take over that company and lead it like Steve did? Who could take over and make revolutionary steps forward in this technological field? The answer is, well, nobody could do it like Steve. Or it's a little bit like this. If you follow sport and your superstar leaves your team, the fans ask, who can fill that hole left by this great player? I think this is what the disciples are thinking to themselves. Who, how, what can fill this hole left by Jesus? So here we are, we have this group of people, a handful of people who had been given a great truth, a powerful message, a great commission, full of promise. But how do they get there? Where was the power? What could they do? And the arrival of the Holy Spirit was nothing short of shocking. So in this power, they had hope. Things were happening. Thousands were converted. The church mushroomed in size. Thousands were converted. The truth was proclaimed in every language. Sure, Jesus had gone, but they had hope that God hadn't forgiven them. This reminds us that as we talk about God and as we proclaim God, even if we feel that that was the worst possible way of doing it, God is still at work. We have hope that He can use that. So when we have hope, we can work up the courage to have the God conversation with someone. Why? Because the Spirit is at work and gives us hope. Another writer puts it this way. God's purpose at Pentecost was to equip His church with the mighty power so that we could be His witnesses to all nations, that we could bring about His eternal glory. See, this hope is just as much for us as it was for the disciples in the upper room. The same Spirit that lived in them can and does live in us. And the truth is, He is no less powerful now than He was at Pentecost. For me, Pentecost leads us to one final and important point. It leads us to worship. See, God saw our need for redemption, to be restored, and that's why He sent Jesus. God saw that we needed help to live out the mission, the role that we were meant to play. And He sent His Spirit. I don't know about you, but for me, I cannot help but be overwhelmed at God's goodness. And at Pentecost, I think we should seize the opportunity to meditate on the Spirit of God that rests on His believers. We need to celebrate Pentecost because we so easily take God and the good things for granted. We need to stop and remember Holy Spirit lives in us, that the Holy Spirit is God in all His holiness, infinity, majesty, and glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for our sins, to redeem us to good relationship with you. But Father, we thank you that that's not the end of the story. Father, we thank you that you continue to work, that you have sent your Spirit to dwell among your people, the church, that we might live out our purpose to bring you glory and honor. So Father, we pray, help us to acknowledge you and your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to live a life that is so deeply centered in you that the Holy Spirit power comes through us. Not because we deserve it, but because we want to bring you glory and honor. Amen. All right, I'll invite the worship team to come and lead us in another song. After that, we'll have some question time. Take a seat. So one of the things we do here at Brookside is we have question time after our service where we can go a little bit deeper and ask a few questions. Do we as a faith community talk about the Holy Spirit enough? Is a question that I would like to propose to you. I don't know if we can answer that question. I think the answer is always going to be no. We can always have a little bit more, can't we? We can always talk about God a little bit more, always talk about Jesus a little bit more. I don't know. Does anyone have any thoughts on that question? Yeah, you want the microphone?
Did not Jesus say when he's talking about the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, that he had to go away and he wouldn't be able to send the Comforter unless he went away?
Yep.
So he went away and the Comforter came. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit.
Over here, getting those steps up.
Thanks. I think there's a fear probably in my mind that if you speak about the Holy Spirit, people will want you to speak in tongues, or they'll think you're one of those Pentecostal people, and you try and find the balance, and you try and find the truth about what you actually mean for the Holy Spirit.